In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Loving God,
I ask for your special blessing on all the priests of my diocesan presbyterate. Help them to remember always that they do not work alone, but they are an intimate sacramental brotherhood under the leadership of our bishop, a ministry team for which they are all responsible. For the sake of their unified and coherent ministry, help them to remember that the ministry they do is not theirs alone, but a share in our bishop's ministry. For that reason, keep them always respectful of and obedient to his leadership. Help them to be diligent in their ministry, absorbed in it, so that their commitment may be evident and their service helpful. Inspire them to take good care of themselves, and help them to be attentive, becoming more effective in their service. Show me and my brothers in formation ways to encourage our priests, those with whom we will someday be partners in service to the Church. Help them to set a good example for us in all that they do. Support our sick, retired, and absent priests with your loving care. I ask this in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Holy and Immaculate Virgin Mary, I consecrate to you the priesthood entrusted to me by your Divine Son, Jesus the Great High Priest. I am all yours, and all that I have, I give to you. Be my tender and loving mother, and remind me daily that I am a beloved son of God the Father. May your docile yes to the invitation of the Holy Spirit inspire me to be a humble servant of your Eucharistic Son, as he once again becomes incarnate in my hands. Mary, you are the model of the Church, the Bride of Christ. Help me to live a life worthy of my noble calling, to be a chaste spouse and spiritual father to the Church. Reveal the beauty of your face, so that I may be comforted in my frustrations. May I be purified and dwell within your Immaculate Heart, in union with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Saint Joseph the Worker. Teach me to be the man the Father wants me to be, laying down my life and sacrificing for my bride, in the same way you care for the Holy Family. O Jesus, Divine Physician and Good Shepherd, heal me that I might heal. Lead me that I might lead all people into the love of the heart of the Trinity, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Mary, Undoer of Knots, pray for us. Mother of Fair Love, I look to you. Take into your hands the ribbon of my life and see the snare of knots that keeps me bound to sin, anxiety, and hopelessness.
I beg you, Mother, by your powerful intercession and long fingers of love and grace, undo the knots in my heart and in my life. Free me to love as Christ loves.
O my God, I am heartily sorry for ever having offended you, and I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but most of all, because I have offended thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to confess my sins, to do penance, and to amend my life. Heavenly Father, I ask you to anoint me that I might give this conference with faith, reverence, and love. I ask that you would not hold the sins of my past against me, but help me to spend the rest of my life in repentance. Lord, I pray that the words I speak may be helpful to my brothers to draw closer to you, now and ever and forever. Amen. St. Vincent, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When a man realizes that he is the Son of God, and he begins to experience the call to live the life of a eunuch for the kingdom and embrace the lifestyle of a chaste spouse, the door of spiritual fatherhood opens. As soon as that door opens, one of the things that you discover very quickly is the need for healing in the lives of the people that you serve. The identity of spiritual physician is so crucial, but yet often neglected. In order to heal effectively and be a physician, it's so important that we have an intentional approach. When I was on my retreat for ordination to the priesthood, I brought a book along with me called Intentional Ministry, and that book has served me well for 40 years. There are four principles in the book. The first principle is that we should understand what the needs of people are, not what we think they are. Let me begin with an example. After the second bishop of Palm Beach was removed for sexual abuse, the whole of South Florida, the Catholic Church, was in crisis. I was approached by a group of priests, and they asked me if I would be willing to become part of a priest support group, and that there would be two Catholic psychologists who were going to join us and give their services to assist us in our work. When we got together, we discovered that the group included the chaplain for the Miami Dolphins, the chancellor for the Archdiocese of Miami, the vocation director from Palm Beach, and several very important pastors from both of the dioceses. And I had the privilege of working with that group for 2 years. We never, ever tried to find easy solutions. We tried to find out what we really needed, what our church needed, and we put our minds together and helped each other find ways to begin to deal with the issues that were facing the church in South Florida. To this day, I long to be in a group like that because the effect of the group was so fantastic. And what we were able to do for each other is stretch each other and help each other grow in ways that allowed us to really be physicians in allowing the mercy and the healing of God to come to the Church of South Florida. One of the things I'll never forget is when we were gathered in a session, we were listening to priests, and one of the young priests, a year ordained, basically said, all of you will be able to look at your ordination pictures and be able to have amazing memories of when you became a priest. He said, I'll never be able to do that. I've already destroyed my ordination pictures. I don't think there was one priest there that didn't understand the pain of that man and what he was going through at the very beginning of his priesthood. The second principle of intentional ministry is, do you have the skills to meet the needs that are before you? If you don't, are you able to educate yourself to meet those needs? If you're unable to educate yourself, are you willing to bring in people who are able to meet the needs of the people? One of the things that we did was we asked Quinn Connors, he's a Carmelite, a psychologist, he had been the president of St. Luke's, to come and work with the priest in the diocese. He is so gifted, and he was able to meet the needs of the priest in that diocese and begin the healing process that was necessary. We knew we all were too personal, and we needed somebody objective in order to come in and to do this and to do it well. The third principle is, in order for ministry to be effective, we always need some other interest outside of ministry that renews us, gives us objectivity, and helps us to be able to come back to ministry refreshed. So one of the things we tried to do is help each other to do that, because we were all busy and we all had a lot of things to do. And one of the things is, if you don't bring each other out, you're probably going to work yourself down into the ground, and then you're not going to be good for anybody. You need this time to be able to get the objectivity to be a healer. The last principle is that you need to bring people on board and be grooming people to continue the work, so that this isn't something that's like a shot in the dark and then it's over with. I can really relate with that now because it's not part of my life. And for 2 years, it was such an important part of my life, and it was something that had dramatic changes in terms of bringing about healing in South Florida. I can't tell you how important it is that priest support groups are in place. Now, when Father Boniface was just speaking about having sharing groups in the seminary, I can't tell you how important that is. Lachlan Schofield, who is a Trinitarian brother and a psychologist, who has worked with a lot of presbyterates and he's worked with a lot of religious communities, he says, unless you share faith with one another, you're never going to be a community. Sharing faith is essential for growth in community and the development of the church. And he has found that to be true over and over again. Not only is it important that these things begin to happen, but we also need to understand personally some very important things. I read a little book while we were going through this process, and it was called The Four Agreements. And the Four Agreements are very simple. The first is, your word should be impeccable. In a world where we're always being snowed, we need somebody that actually speaks in a truthful fashion. The second thing that is important is you should never, ever take anything personally. People have emotional viruses, and they can infect you if you take things personally. The third thing is you should never, ever, don't make assumptions, ask questions. Whenever you make an assumption, you think you know what's going on, but until you ask questions, you won't really know what's going on. And finally, the last one is do your best. Let me try to give you an example of how this plays out. I was in that parish that I told you about for 13 years, in one of the families in the parish with the Woods. And whatever, I was over there all the time because there was always something going on. There was always a family celebration, and I was there. And Mike's sister, for some reason, every time I would walk into the house, I would get this look from her like she hated my guts. And I couldn't figure out what I did that caused this in her. So one of the things is, every single time we were in the same room together, I kept getting this same look all the time. So I basically took it personally, and I made an assumption. The lady does not like me. So one day I get a call, and she wants to make an appointment. So I can't figure out why she wants to make an appointment. Is she going to finally blow me out of the hemisphere? Why does she want to sit down and talk? So I went down when she came in, and I was just a nervous wreck what this was going to be. So I walk in, she's crying. So I'm wondering, what's going to happen? And she said, you probably don't understand me. When I was 12 years old, I was raped by my brother-in-law, and no one knows it except you. When I was taught in catechism that God would protect me, I felt God failed me, and I tried to become the Rock of Gibraltar. I've been having an affair with one of the doctors in the hospital. I'm a nurse. He's a married man. I'm pregnant. I have MS, and the doctor told me if I have the child, I'm going to die. I've had an abortion. So I'm looking at this poor, poor woman, and I'm realizing I had no idea what was going on when she would look at me, and all the assumptions I made were wrong, dead wrong. So I said to her, I understand you're going to go to Colorado. So she said, yes. So I said to her, would you take some photographs while you're in Colorado? And she looked at me like, have you heard one word I said? So she said, okay. And I said, when you get back, can we get together again? And would you bring the photographs with you? So she said, okay. And then she came in and she showed me the photographs, and I said, what do you see? Mountains and trees. I said, don't you see the beauty that you created in these photographs? And she just looked at me, you're weird, really weird. So then I said to her, would you be willing to come to church? She said, if I come to church, God is going to send a thunderbolt and kill me. She came to church. She was walking out. I said, are you okay? And she said, at least the thunderbolt didn't come. So I said, will you come back next week? Okay. And next week. And next week. And next week. And next week. Then after she got comfortable in church, I said, I need a Eucharistic minister. Would you be a Eucharistic minister for me? And she said, how could I be a Eucharistic minister? I've had an abortion. So I said, trust me and leave that on me. I'm asking you to do this. So she went through the training, and after she had given communion for the first time, I said to her, what did you experience? She said, it was amazing to see the faith of these people. She said, I felt such a privilege giving communion to each and every person who came to me. So she was a Eucharistic minister for a while, and then I said, we need a First Communion teacher. Would you be the First Communion teacher? And she said, I don't think I can do that. So I said, do you trust me? And she said, yes, I trust you. Please do this. So after a couple weeks, I said, how's it going? And she thanked me, and she said, it's just like God saying to me, I understand, because all these kids love me so much, and they're giving me all this love, and it's healing me. This woman is now the leader of a Lake Carmelite group. She's the president of her parish council. She has MS, but she is one of the bravest, amazing people that anyone could ever meet. When you're a spiritual physician, a lot of times you have to try to work outside the box to begin to bring people into the circle of life. It means you have to understand the four agreements, that you have to be an honest person. You have to be someone that doesn't take things personally, because you never fully understand what's going on inside another person. Don't make assumptions. Ask them questions. Bring life out in them. And the only thing you can do your best, and God fills in the gaps. Why would someone come back when a priest listens to the horror story and then ask a person to take photographs? It's God. God is bringing about the good work. So to be a spiritual physician, the ministry has to be intentional, but you also have to understand how to create the proper boundaries and the ways to bring about healing in people's lives. If you have a rule book and you present the rule book, it probably isn't going to help you. If you're willing to work outside the box and recognize that God is working in all of this, and trust your intuitions that God is leading you to help bring this person to healing, which is so essential in their lives. It's important that not only we're physicians, but it also is important that we're good patients, that we're willing to go to other spiritual physicians and seek out their help with our own struggles. A young priest came to me and he was having a problem with a woman that he was counseling. He was feeling sexual attractions toward her. And it was a matter, I said to him, do you have a priest friend that you can talk with to help you to get the objectivity you need and see if you even should be doing this? You might need to say the most appropriate thing would be to give a referral rather than to continue this. And you don't have to explain. You just say you feel this person could really help them. Well, this priest wasn't willing to do that, and he did not have a priest friend to talk with. And it was a matter, many of the reasons why he became a priest weren't the most noble reasons. I think the main reason why he became a priest is because he hated his father, and he did not want to produce what his father was. So he felt if he became a priest, then he'd be able to avoid that trauma. His mother was someone that he loved very deeply. But when his mom died, his whole world fell apart. The woman that he was counseling was near his mother's age. He left the priesthood and married this woman. This is where the physician isn't paying any attention to the symptoms that are going on in their own life that they need help with in order to be able to do their work appropriately. Learning proper boundaries is incredibly important. We have a priest that he can just smell alcohol, and all of a sudden, he's happy hands, and he's all over women. So one of the things that anybody who cares about him is to keep him away from the booze whenever he's near the ladies. Otherwise, his whole life and ministry could go down the tubes. These kinds of things, because we're so human, if we really want to be good physicians, we have to understand the warning signs and respond appropriately. Because when we do, we can continue the healing ministry. When we don't, we create more disease. Spiritual disease is not something the world needs more of. It needs more healing. Because every time a healing takes place, there's a new person out there announcing the good news. Jesus has healed me. Jesus has restored my life. Jesus is inviting me to share this new life with others. The fact that Father Boniface is doing the spiritual direction course at St. Vincent's to me is another positive sign that St. Vincent's understands the priestly identities and is helping all of you to be able to enter those roles effectively. I would say that most seminarians, by the time they get through with seminary, never have had a spiritual direction course. All of us have good intentions, but we really need assistance on how to do these things well. How do you listen so that you can bring God into someone's life and not be imposing yourself and getting in the way of God in terms of God trying to heal someone? When you know the skills of spiritual direction, you're able to do that kind of thing. And I don't think there's any priest who shouldn't have a basic awareness of spiritual direction, because people are going to be coming to you asking you to help them. They believe that you have the qualifications and the abilities to help them. But remember, you have to know what the real needs of people are, and do you have the skills to meet those needs? You might have to say to yourself, I need to educate myself. One of the saddest things for me is when a priest gets through a seminary and never reads another theology book in their life. There's no profession on the face of the earth that can do that. We have to be in ongoing education for our whole lives. And when we're continually reading and growing, we can respond to the real needs that people have. These kinds of things are very basic, but so important. And when they're in place, they can make all the difference in the world. So I invite you to intentionally approach ministry. I believe that the four agreements can be very helpful to you in terms of meeting people's needs and discovering what's really going on. And I believe this can be a catalyst for spiritual physician identity to become something that becomes part of a priest's life and really makes a difference in their ministry. Let us pray. Lord our God, as Jesus walked among us, he could see clearly the pain, the disease, the blindness, the lameness, the possession in our individual lives. When his disciples were asked to heal, and the Father said to Jesus, they weren't able to. Jesus said, how long am I going to be with this perverse generation? Jesus longs to heal, and he longs that his disciples continue that healing in the world in which we live. It is so easy to get caught up in so many things that don't really matter, that don't meet the real needs of people, but they're the things we think they need. And all of a sudden, a chasm develops between priest and people, and the community of the church continues to diminish, and people don't understand what's happening. Why are people leaving in droves? They read their newspapers and see scandals. They're taught to believe in something, and then when they seek help, those who are supposed to help are unable. Lord, as we explore the priestly identities, help us to take them very personally as goals to continue to develop and grow in our life. Help us be willing on the level of formation to enter into our brother seminarians in sharing our faith and our hope and how the things that we're learning in seminary are going to impact our future ministry. Help us to talk realistically about our lives. Help us not to be people who wear masks and pretend to be people they're really not. Help us to be able to be authentic and speak words that are about the Word of God and the Logos, words that are not about snowing people with things that really are not truthful, but help people to discover the truth of your love as they experience their lives being healed in the church's ministry. We ask this in Jesus' name, for he is Lord forever and ever. St. Vincent, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.